I am going to call the meeting of the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee to order. Ms. Dole, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Here.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Here.
Trustee John Butler? Board Chair Montel Gales?
Here.
Trustee Leland Strom?
Here.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Here.
Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Thank you very much. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You have a quorum present and the meeting is noticed properly under Open Meetings Act for Illinois.
Thank you very much. We will move on to number three, the meeting agenda approval. May I have a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Is there a second?
Second, Athus.
Thank you, Trustee Athus. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion is passed. Move on to number four, the review and approval of the minutes from the last FACFO meeting of November 9th of 2023. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Strom.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion is passed. We'll move on to number five, Chair's comments and announcements. As always, I'd like to welcome any members of the University Advisory Committee who are present today. Do any of you have comments for the board?
Not today, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for being here and your service to the university. I have a few comments just to kick things off. The board and I look forward to what I know is going to be a robust set of conversations today around some critical pieces of university business for the current and upcoming fiscal year. We have a full agenda for today's meeting. We're focused on a set of important financial updates and several recommendations that include student pricing recommendations for fiscal year 25. And other financial commitments in support of the university operational needs. The university is moving forward 12 recommendations today for approval in this committee meeting. Six of those will go on to the special meeting of the board that will follow. Those items moving forward to the special meeting are moving forward because they are very time sensitive, including five items that are related to student costs for fiscal year 25. At this point, we'll move on to agenda item number six, public comment. We wish to recognize members of the public who have complied with state laws and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely requests to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, no registered public comment this morning.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll move on to agenda item number seven. And at this point in time, I would like to ask Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Dr. George Middlemist, to present the university financial update. George?
Thank you. Okay, I'm on. Okay, just making sure. Agenda item 7A is the quarterly financial summary, fiscal year 2024, second quarter, as of December 31st, 2023. The format of the item is similar to the first quarter, which was presented to the board the FACFO November meeting. The format will change when we move to the third quarter a little bit. We're going to move a lot of the definitions that are up front to the back so we can get straight to the meat of the numbers. The activity is and the report is represented through December 31st, 2023. A few things to note. First, the projected full year net revenue has improved from quarter one by $1.86 million. 186 would have been better, but we'll go with $1.86 million. It's now $5.8 million better than budget. So that's good news. The projected deficit has decreased by nearly $4 million to $27.9 million. The budgeted deficit did increase slightly, about $2 million, as the university leadership approved amendments to the budget to pursue strategic priorities. Robust internal processes are used to vet these requests and proposals to and then require approval from the CFO and the provost and the president. Some of the specific line items that I want to highlight: revenue. Miscellaneous investment income is performing better than budget because of interest income. Interest rates are higher than what we had projected, and the earnings are a little bit better. Also want to point out for the board that we're working, the controller's office and the budget office are working together to really recategorize some of the revenues that are booked into miscellaneous to put them into the more appropriate revenue line item. This won't change the revenues overall, but does give a little bit better reporting. In expenses, I want to highlight personnel. While we're waiting for one small CBA to be settled, we're still projecting personnel to be right on budget at the end of the year. That's really good. The budget is up from prior year because of the increments that we had this last fiscal year. And we're also seeing a little bit faster filling of vacant positions, which is good for work, but does result in a little bit more spending. And then contractual services, we're also seeing that is up a little bit from the original projection in quarter one. And what we're seeing is that utilities are trending a little higher this year than they did last year. And we're attributing that to the growth in the residence halls. Travel is also projected to be slightly up. I want to point this one out because travel is a little bit of a more difficult item for us to project because the pandemic really held down travel. And we're seeing now that the pandemic is at the end there's more professional development opportunities. We're seeing that the travel could come in even up to $1 million more than what we're projecting for our budget. And then the last thing, in terms of the items, is debt service. Debt service is up from last year. We expected this. We had refinanced our debt in fiscal year 2020 and did what I call scoop and throw. So we scooped up all the debt and we threw out the payments to future years so we could capture a lot of the savings from the refinancing in the early years. Really helped us in terms of with the pandemic. I want to also point out that although the payments have grown, are growing this year and the next few for the rest of the loan, the payments are also less than what they were prior to what we refinanced. And so we still see overall savings in the debt payments. The only other things I'll point out for the Q2 update is the recurring table. This is where the improvement projected revenues are really showing, so ongoing revenues being up. And then the non-recurring table, the third one in the list, is really tracking to what we had projected for budget. Right. And the next update will be in May.
Great. Thank you, George. While we recognize that we are only halfway through the fiscal year, we are pleased to learn that we are trending better than the original budget in terms of the all funds financial performance, and also the fact that we attribute this to the recurring revenues and expenses, which is great. However, we cannot lose sight of the university's operating deficit, as the board is sensitive to the fact that certain costs will continue to increase as inflation persists and as revenue generation always remains a challenge. We will continue to impress upon the university community the importance of our goal to have a balanced budget. Shared leadership and fiscal responsibility are critical as we work towards eliminating our deficit and ultimately developing a balanced multi-year budget. I look forward to the next report in May, and we hope to see a continued reduction in the budgeted deficit. With that, are there any questions from the board for George on agenda item 7A? Trustee Athas?
It isn't a question, just a comment. As a trustee, I want to again compliment the administration on delineating between recurring and non-recurring funds. That really helps us to understand and get a better handle on it, and I really appreciate, as a trustee, the transparency that you brought to the budgetary process. So thank you.
Thank you, Rita. The budget team deserves all the credit.
To the whole team, then.
Yeah,
they have done a great job. Thank you for that comment. Other questions? Chair Gales?
I just noticed this. I'm just wondering where it's reflected. Where are energy costs, gas, electric? I was looking at expenses there. Is that because we generate our own energy through boiler system? I mean, how does that work?
I believe, Trustee Galen, I'm looking at Andrew. He'll nod at me if I'm wrong or right on this. It's in the contractual services item.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
It's in accounting terms, mushed in with a lot of other things.
Thank you.
That's where the sausage is made.
Other questions or comments for George? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item 7B.
Agenda item 7B is a periodic report of cash and investments for period ending December 31st, 2023. A few things to note. Total holdings at the end of the second quarter stand at $112 million, with $50 million available for daily operations, providing approximately 40 days cash on hand based on historical burn rate of $1.2 million per day. The $29 million decrease in holding balance compared to the same time last year is attributed to increased cash disbursement and was anticipated with the expiration of pandemic relief funds, increased costs related to inflation, and a planned $32 million budget deficit. Cash flows from tuition and aid for the spring 2024 term will boost the third quarter holdings balance, bringing it closer to the targeted 60 to 90 days cash on hand. Investment earnings report reveals that income of $1.8 million and an annualized rate of return of 5.49%, marking a $550,000 increase in interest earned compared to the same quarter of fiscal year 23. This rise is attributed to the growing market investment yields. I want to emphasize that management prioritizes the university's fiscal sustainability, closely monitoring market changes and deploying available options within the limitations of the Illinois Public Funds Investment Act to help strengthen our cash position. The investment committee typically meets quarterly. We're now meeting monthly just to really watch what's going on with the investments and the cash. Operating funds are strategically invested in interest-bearing savings accounts, money markets, and fixed income securities, balancing liquidity needs with favorable investment earnings. Recent economic indicators suggest a slowdown in strong growth with moderated job gains but a low unemployment rate. And then the Federal Open Market Committee maintained the Fed fund rate at 5.25% to 5.5% at its January meeting, and economists anticipate that the flat rate will be held in March.
Thank you, George. Clearly, this report ties in nicely with my comments from the previous item 7A. As we continue to operate in a deficit, we have witnessed the impact as our cash reserves decline, although glad to learn that we anticipate that the cash on hand will again be within our goal of 60 to 90 days of cash reserves on hand with next semester's revenue. But the concerns remain that we did witness a drop below that goal, even if it was for one single quarter. It does serve as a reminder that operating in a deficit cannot continue in perpetuity. And we look forward to more conversations ahead regarding how to address these financial challenges. Said another way, the importance of getting to a balanced budget for NIU is a direct reflection on our cash, right? So when you think about the importance of a balanced budget for our campus, and for NIU, cash is one of the big reasons why this is so important for us to focus on as a campus community. Any questions for George from the Board of Trustees on agenda item 7B? Okay, great, thank you. We will now move on to item number 8, university recommendations. And again, I will ask George to present them, beginning with agenda item 8A.
Agenda item 8A is the fiscal year 2025 room and board pricing recommendation. The university is presenting a pricing recommendation to establish room and board fees for fiscal year 25. The collection of room and board fees from students living in university residence halls and Northern View community apartments supports housing and residential services, campus dining services, and related auxiliary bond obligations. These recommendations were developed to align our commitment to student affordability and success with the necessary expenditure currently required to maintain our housing and dining experiences. The university is recommending that room and board rates increase for each room accommodation in the residence halls for fiscal year 25. This represents an average increase of 5.3% for most rate types. Neptune North and West residents will have a slightly smaller rate increase of 3.6% due to the lack of air conditioning in student rooms. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today aligns with the university registration process for academic year 2025, which begins in April and allows time for back-end setup to take place.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8A?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there any discussion? Chair Gales.
I want to commend the staff, at least, looking at, I know we needed increases, but we held the line and did this as little as we possibly could in order to maintain the operations of the university, and I appreciate that from a board standpoint.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, George, but you know, we've had this discussion several times here over the last few weeks and months, but a lot of this is just the increase is just due to inflation of costs.
A lot, yes.
Yeah.
No. Dennis, just to add on to that, for as much as what we've seen has gone up, it seems like we're below what we see with the regular inflation numbers. So kudos to the staff here for keeping a lid on that. It was going to go up, just not as much as I thought it would go up as we've been researching this.
True. Any further questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor of agenda item 8A, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All those abstaining? The motion is passed. Agenda item 8B.
Agenda item 8B is the fiscal year 2025 undergraduate tuition pricing recommendation. Prior to this recommendation for fiscal year 25, NIU held base tuition flat in 7 of the last 9 fiscal years, including fiscal year 24. NIU had the smallest percentage tuition increase over that time than any of the 12 Illinois public institutions. And I think we're bringing up a slide deck to illustrate this. For fiscal year 25, the university recommends a 4.5% increase in base tuition and no change in undergraduate differential tuition rates. These recommendations were developed with the goal of addressing the current academic and support needs of students while keeping the tuition for incoming and re-entering students affordable. Concurrently, the university is expanding the Aim High Husky Pledge program to broaden the number of students eligible to not pay tuition costs or general fees for their first year at NIU and potentially beyond. Currently, 43.1% of NIU undergraduates do not pay tuition or fees. With the change in the household income threshold from $75,000 to $100,000 to qualify, that percentage will increase. And it's a little hard to see on the chart from back here, but you can see that we'll sit relatively in the middle in terms of our tuition and fees with the other institutions. And then the chart the table to the right shows that our tuition and fees have increased 3.4% over the last 8 years, which is by far the lowest compared to the other institutions in Illinois. The next lowest is the University of Illinois Chicago at 8.5% over that same time.
Okay, is that?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll go to the recommendation. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today aligns with the university's registration process for academic year 2025, which begins in April and allows time for the back-end setup to take place.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8B?
So made, Strom.
Second,
thank you,
Athas.
Trustee Strom. Is there a second?
Second, Athas.
Thank you, Trustee Athas. Is there any discussion? I'll start on this side of the room first. We always tend to go left first, then we'll go right.
I have a comment.
Trustee Herrero?
Just that I appreciate the work that's been done here to help us understand how, the impact that this is having on students, and how you will, at the same time that we're increasing tuition, you're also making sure that, A, it's still competitive, right, as we look at our peer institutions, and B, that we're still looking to make, tuition and going to school here at NIU more affordable for students, right, through the Husky Pledge and other things. So I appreciate just the very comprehensive presentation here on how we're going to do this. And the note about the 43.1% of our undergrads are not paying tuition and fees, also it just helps me to understand what the impact of an increase is on the overall student population. So I appreciate the groundwork on this. Thank you.
Trustee Strom?
In relation to that point of 43%, how does that equate to other universities?
We actually have that data. I don't have it in front of me, but we trend about the same as Western and Eastern Illinois, if I remember correctly. I think we're a little lower than Chicago State and Governor State, and then we're a little higher than the other schools.
Yeah. Can we put that chart back up, Tony, that you had before on the percentage of increases?
George, I have that data available too. If you want to see it, but
I was going to echo Trustee Herrera's comment as well. I mean, if you take this one item and say, "Boy, a 4.5% increase, that seems significant," but when you take it in the context of everything else that is on the table here that affects tuition, it's a good strategy and it's a balanced approach to this. I think it's always hard to predict years out ahead what inflation is going to do, and we're in a period of intense inflation right now that we're dealing with, but I appreciate the work and the effort and the thoughtful strategies that have gone into this.
And since you said years out, I just want to remind everybody that because of Truth in Tuition, this increase applies to newly entering students and students who are re-entering after a stop out, but Truth in Tuition guarantees students 9 semesters of tuition at the rate they start with, so the majority of our current students will not be impacted.
And again, if you look at that chart that was up, even with the increase applied over the last 9 years or close to a decade, we are still close to the bottom relative to total increases in tuition and fees. So, I think we remain very competitive and we remain with the forefront thinking or the front of our mind thinking of keeping tuition affordable for our students. Questions on this side? Trustee Moore?
There we go. All right. Just briefly, pretty interesting statistics and facts that were shown. I do commend the work that was done on this. Definitely very interesting kind of situation that this is, just like with tuition and everything, because as students, of course, we'd like to pay as little as possible to go to school, especially with how much it is now, but of course, unfortunately, that's the unfortunate reality that we have of inflation and prices going up and everything. Just like working with that, I thought actually seeing the numbers of like where we compare to other universities and like percentage increases was great, actually, because about 90% of the students that I talked to, when I first asked them the question, why did you come to Northern, first or second thing that comes out of their mouth is because it's very affordable, it's cheap. A lot of these other schools weren't really giving them money to go. So I thought this was a great thing. So
I think Trustee Moore meant to say high value instead of cheap. So
yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay, good.
I was waiting for you to add that.
Let the notes reflect that I said that originally.
But you know, that's a really good point that I appreciate, is the value that we get. And I know that's exactly what you were saying. But in order to continue to maintain the value proposition and the value that we have here at NIU, we have to pull different levers, you know. And what I appreciate about this is that, you know, tuition isn't the only lever that we're pulling to maintain value and improve the value at NIU. It's one of several, right? So I wanted to underscore that point. And it is really good to hear that students do feel that, because that's exactly what we would hope, you know? So it's good. Thank you for that.
Further questions or comments? We good? Okay. We have had a motion to approve. We have had a second. We've had discussion. So all those in favor of agenda item 8B, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All those abstaining? Motion 8B is passed. Motion recommendation, agenda item 8C.
Agenda item 8C is the fiscal year 2025 graduate and law tuition pricing recommendation. NIU has developed a refined set of tuition rates to reflect the multiple student populations. For fiscal year 25, the university recommends a 0% increase in base and differential tuition for graduate students and law students. These recommendations were developed with the goal of keeping tuition as low as possible while maintaining fiscal responsibility. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today aligns with the university's registration process for academic year 2025, which begins in April and allows time for back-end setup to take place.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8C?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there a second?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Any discussion on agenda item 8C? I do have a question, just to make sure that I know we've reviewed this, and I should have asked this question before, but there's no changes, right?
No changes.
Yeah.
So does it have to come before the board every year, even if there's not changes? Okay, that's what I thought.
I had the same question.
Yeah.
Same thought.
Okay. Further questions for George from the board? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8C, say aye.
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 No, I'm sorry. We need to do a roll call on this one, because I believe we have a trustee that will be abstaining. So, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
I abstain.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Abstain.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes, and I want to make a comment. Trustee Moore, you can vote on this.
Yes.
Yeah. So you may want
to. Unless you had a personal reason to abstain. Yeah.
Personal reason, because you thought you had.
Do you want to change?
Yeah. I could change my vote to yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
So recorded on that change. Thank you.
Okay. Agenda item 8C is passed. Agenda item 8D.
Agenda item 8D is the fiscal year 2025 undergraduate, graduate, and law student fee pricing recommendation. The university has numerous student activities, programs, services, and operations that are supported to various degrees by the assessment of dedicated use student charges. These charges are aggregated into more manageable number of fees. This item presents a pricing recommendation that addresses Northern Illinois University's undergraduate, graduate, and law fees for fiscal year 25. These recommendations were developed by a committee comprised of faculty, staff, and students with the goals of addressing the current academic and support needs of students and keeping the cost of attendance affordable. The fees with changes are the Home Student Center charge, a fee increase from $11.80 a credit hour to $14.15 a credit hour. The increase is $2.35. Campus Recreation charge, fee increases from $8 to $9, a change of $1. The Capital Improvement charge, fee increases from $15.35 to $15.65, an increase of 30 cents. The Transportation Access charge increases from $7.70 to $7.80, so a 10 cent increase. The Athletic Program charge, a fee increase from $22.29 to $22.74, or an increase of 45 cents. The Convocation Center charge from $8.20 to $8.50, an increase of 30 cents. And the Husky Stadium charge, a fee increases from $2.40 to $2.65, or an increase of 25 cents. And lastly, I want to point out the Central Service Fee is an existing fee that supports services, contracts, and operations of the university, including software licenses, debt service, and audit expenses. This fee is assessed only to online graduate students in certain programs and who are not otherwise assessed these fees. The fees mirror the charges and generally assessed to graduate students. So that fee increases by the $4.75 that all the fees are increasing by aggregate. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today aligns with the university's registration process for academic year 2025, which begins in April, and allows time for back-end setup to take place.
Great, thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8D?
So moved, Athis.
Thank you, Trustee Athis. Is there a second?
Second, Herrero.
Thank you, Trustee Herrero. Any discussion on agenda item 8D? Chair Gales.
Mr. Chair, I will again be abstaining based on a conflict.
Thank you. Further questions? So I'm assuming the majority of this increase is just due to inflated costs.
Yes.
For the services that we're delivering. Is there any tangible thing that the students will see as a result of this increase, or is it all just due to inflation and the services that they're going to see are really just going to remain the same?
So a couple things to that, Trustee Barsema. First, I want to emphasize that there's a committee that does this. All the programs bring forward to the committee their requested fee increases, along with data that talks about what services are being delivered, why they're requesting the change. And so that's really important, right? Because then it allows the committee to really vet those changes. For some of it, like campus recreation, the charge of $1 will have visible impact on students, right? Because it allows Campus Rec to really keep up with the equipment that's being used. They're seeing a lot more use in that space now, and so it just really allows them to keep the safety at a forefront, the equipment a little bit more fresh. We think about the capital improvement charge. That's going up. Well, hopefully that will have also a direct impact on our students as we continue to work to improve the learning facilities of our campus. I want to talk a minute for a second on the convocation charge. So the convocation charge is going to allow athletics, who manages that space, to invest and clean and, you know, do some things to hopefully attract outside venues that will generate more revenue. And that space is pretty critical, too, for our students come every December and May as we all celebrate watching them walk across that stage. So those are just a few of the examples, I think, that I would highlight. So it's not strictly about inflation. It's really about how we better serve our students.
Great. Thank you. Further questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, Ms. Dill, would you please call the roll for a vote on agenda item 8D?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Abstain.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. Agenda item 8D is passed. Agenda item 8E.
Agenda item 8E is the College of Law graduation fee. The College of Law is requesting an increase in the graduation fee paid by all third-year law students in the fall semester. The graduation fee was implemented in 1980 at $35 a student. In 1995, it went to $55 a student, and in 2004, it went to $75 a student, where it has remained for 20 years. The new fee rate will be $150 effective August 16, 2024. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8E?
So move, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there a second?
Second, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Any discussion on agenda item 8E? Trustee Gales.
Chair, I'll also be abstaining on this matter due to a conflict.
Thank you. Other questions, comments? Okay. Hearing none, Ms. Doe, again, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Abstain.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. Agenda item 8E is passed. Agenda item 8F.
Agenda item 8F is the fiscal year 2025 student health insurance. The university offers group health insurance to students funded solely by the student health insurance fees. For participating students, their fees are collected and submitted to the broker or insurer as a pass-through expense by the university. Students may waive their participation in this plan if they have proof of other comparable insurance. As a participating institution in the Illinois Public Higher Education Cooperative, IPEC, the university used the selected insurance broker to source and secure a student health insurance plan and program for fiscal year 25. The quoted rate for fiscal year 25 will reflect a 6.3% increase in premiums for students who participate in the coverage, not to exceed $1,378 per semester or $2,756 per academic year. The carrier is also included in this year's quote financial assistance of $50,000 maximum for the university in order to offset administrative costs associated with the program, which are otherwise supported by student fees. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today aligns with the university registration process for academic year 2025.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8F?
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Butler. Is there a second?
Second, Herrero.
Thank you, Trustee Herrero. Any discussion? Trustee Gales.
Sure, yeah, I'm going to have to abstain.
Thank you. Trustee Strom.
I think I may have asked this in our committee meeting, but I can't recall. In 2022 fiscal year, we saw a significant rise in the amount of students enrolled. What was the cause of that, and do we anticipate, is that just a one-time aberration?
So I'm going to start with the last part of the question. Yeah. I believe it's a one-time aberration. You'll see that before that, we averaged around 2,000 coming out of that. We're mm-hmm. averaging around 2,000 students. You know, the thing to remember is fiscal year 22, we were coming out of the pandemic, and so many families had lost insurance. A lot of things that you would have asked for insurance to reimburse you for, we weren't able to do in fiscal year 2020 and 2021 because there weren't optional. You weren't getting to go see the doctor for stuff that wasn't super urgent, and so. Across the country, we saw increased insurance use in 2022. I anticipate that won't happen again because I'm not counting on another pandemic in my lifetime.
Okay. So you assume somewhere between 2,000, 2,500 students to enroll in the program.
Yep.
Okay.
So it was mentioned in the write-up that students have to show proof of insurance if they don't. Is that a federal, state law, a university law that students have health insurance coverage? Does anybody know?
I'm looking at Emily to see if Emily knows, because I don't know Illinois law as well.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, it's a university-based policy.
Yes, in order to secure the best rates for a health insurance plan for students, we opt in, or we choose to opt out that type of program just to secure those rates, because otherwise health insurers will underwrite students who choose to participate on an individual basis. So that can really increase the cost exponentially. So we, university rule, university law.
Okay, so this is a university initiative, if
yes,
you will.
Yes,
okay. It is, and part of it is about the best rates, but part of it is understanding that we don't want our students to make bad decisions,
to
be penny-wise and pound-foolish with their health.
Yeah, no, I get all that. I was just wondering where the, you know, if this was a requirement that was driven by a statute or if it was just the right thing to do.
The right thing to do.
It's best the right practice. Thing to do. Yes. I love right things to do.
Yep,
okay.
Thank you, Emily.
Great.
Yep, of course.
Thank you, Emily. Okay. Any further discussion on agenda item 8F? Okay. Hearing none. Ms. Doe, again, would you please call the roll to vote on agenda item 8F?
Trustee Rita Athus.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Abstain.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsimo?
Yes. Motion action item 8F is approved. Agenda item 8G.
Agenda item 8G is the fiscal year 2025 Campus Services Consumable Commodities and Charter Bus Services, which are required to be renewed for fiscal year 25. Consumable items are required to support the operations of various university departments, which can commonly include materials for cleaning supplies, postage, and fuel. Charter bus services support activities such as athletic sporting events, academic field trips, and admissions open house events. The open order renewals or new agreements will be processed in accordance with applicable Illinois procurement regulations. The amounts are not to exceed limits established for fiscal year 25. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8G?
So
we'll take the first motion from Chair Gales.
Second.
Okay. Wasowitz. Second from Trustee Wasowitz. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. We do not need a roll call vote, so all those in favor of agenda item 8G say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is carried. Agenda item 8G is passed. Agenda item 8H.
Agenda item 8H is the fiscal year 2025 master agreement facility contract renewals. Master agreements for the design consultation services and construction labor materials supporting facility repairs and improvements are required to be established or renewed for fiscal year 25. These agreements provide an important streamlined contractual mechanism to engage companies effectively and efficiently while still maintaining price competitiveness. The renewals or new awards will be processed in accordance with applicable Illinois procurement regulations. As the level of deferred maintenance and repair demands continue to pose a risk for campus operations, the ability and agility to respond quickly when failures occur becomes critical. While navigating the requirements of the state procurement process can be challenging, these master agreements allow interested companies to be pre-screened and validated for their willingness to operate under state procurement rules, like the business enterprise program qualification, subcontract participation plans, adherence to standard state legal certifications, and financial conflict of interest disclosures. The amounts listed are not to exceed limits established for fiscal year 25 or noted 5-year terms and do not reflect a commitment or obligation, but an upper limit. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8H?
So moved, Appice.
Thank you, Trustee Appice. Is there a second?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Any discussion on agenda item 8H? Chair Gales.
I just have a question about the list of renewals. The folks on the list, have they done work for us, or is this just an open contract where if we need their services, we can at least tap these vendors?
So for this list, it's the latter, so it's, or the former. I never get that right. So it's a list that allows us to use those vendors going into fiscal year 25. Some of the vendors on the list may already be doing work for the university, but this allows this list to go forward in 25.
I guess my follow-up question is, and this is my BEP question, I see we got 10 people listed, 10 entities listed. Have they done work for us in the past? Do we know?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, Montel. And we could... John, do you?
Just to be safe. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I fully understood the question. Could you?
Well, from what George just explained to me, these are eligible folks. If we need services, we can pull off this list to get these services. I'm looking at the renewals. I was just wondering if, and I'm just pointing out the BEP folks,
5 years.
If those folks have actually done work for the university in the past under this contract.
Yes, they have. Yeah, so this is a, we renew them, so we've used them in the past and want to continue, but it is a mechanism for, we use them as we need them, and we use them as they compete well for the work that we put out for quote.
Okay, so every year, while they're under a term contract, they'll come back for approval.
Correct.
And except all of our bids have a 30% BEP goal, is that correct? 20 to 30%.
This is except for the 5 years. Then the 5 years, it's every 5 years.
Right. Yeah. So a little combination of two things here. One, some of them are individual annual renewals. Some are a 5-year term. Yep.
Further questions or comment? Okay. Hearing none. We will do a roll call vote in the event that there are any conflicts of interest where board members want to abstain. So, Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll for agenda item 8H?
Trustee Rita Athas?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wozowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Abstain.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. Agenda item 8H is approved. Agenda item 8I.
Agenda item 8I is the outlease with the Illinois Association of School Business Officials, with NIU as the lessor. The university has been in a 25-year arrangement with the Illinois Association of School Business Officials, known as ISBO. which supported the construction of the IASBO NIU Professional Development Center building on the south side of campus along Lincoln Highway. As the term of the agreement comes to an end in May 2024 and terms for a new lease are in discussion, the university would like to continue the long-term relationship with IASBO by supporting a new lease for up to a possible 10 years. This is a revenue-generating agreement anticipated to generate approximately $60,000 annually or $640,000 over the 10-year life of the lease. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8I?
So moved, Herrero.
Second, thank you, Gales. Trustee Herrero. Is there a second?
Second, Gales.
Chair Gales, thank you. Any discussion on agenda item 8I? Trustee Strom?
Just a quick question. So was the original agreement on this 25 years? Is that the one that's expiring now? And my subsequent question is that this is proposing up to a 10-year lease. Is it our plan to enter a 10-year lease arrangement with them, or?
John's going to.
We're in discussions right now. So right now, I don't know if they want to go a full 10 years and commit to that or something less. So we're in discussions with them, but I'm looking for the authority to negotiate up to 10 years if they want to go that far. And to clarify, I don't know if the 25-year agreement before is when they own the building and they were leasing to us. Mm-hmm. Now the roles are going to flip, if you understand that transition we're making.
Thank you. Okay.
Chair Gales?
Do we know how much we're paying per square foot based on this?
Off the top of my head, no. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I can get back to you if you'd like to know. Okay. I will add, it's always something I'm looking at the market, so it's not just whatever pops in my head. But.
Have they, I know you're in the process of discussing the length of the contract, have they agreed to the $60,000 or is that under discussion as well?
We do have an understanding and agreement on the rate, and it's just a matter of their board met recently, so I need to sync back up and see so we can finalize the terms.
Okay, great. Other questions, comments?
Okay. Thank you, John.
Hearing none, is there, we've had a motion, a second discussion. All those in favor of agenda item 8I say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, all those abstaining, motion is carried. That was 8I. Agenda item 8J.
Agenda item 8J is a division of information technology, renewal of on-base software maintenance. DeWitt requests permission to renew a contract for the Highland Software Licensing Support and Maintenance Services for 1 year with two additional one-year renewal options. The maintenance services will provide for the continued use and future growth of the on-base workflow and imaging technology at NIU. The approval time period is August 1st, 2024 through July 31st, 2027. The on-base application increases efficiency and reduces costs by helping eliminate cumbersome and slow paper-based processing, replacing it with electronic documents and workflow that significantly reduces processing times and allows for a better allocation of resources. OnBase serves NIU by providing for enterprise content management, case management, and business process management, document capture, and enterprise application integration. It is available for use by all NIU students, faculty, and staff, and is used by close to 35 individual departments across the university. DeWitt is focused on expanding the use of OnBase for document and workflow processing at NIU. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8J?
So moved, Herrero.
Thank you, Trustee Herrero. Is there a second? Thank you, Trustee Athas. Any discussion? Chair Gales.
I was just wondering on this one, do we have any BP participation?
No, this is traditionally
Further questions? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8J, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All those abstaining? The motion is passed. 8J is passed. Agenda item 8K.
Agenda item 8K is the lease for residence hall appliance units. Housing and Residential Services wishes to partner with Campus Fridge to provide a combination of refrigerator, freezer, and microwave unit, brand name Microfridge, for residence hall student rooms under an annual lease agreement. The university currently owns similar appliances, but they have gone past their usefulness. Current units average between 12 and 15 years of age, which is well beyond their expected lifespan. Repair and upkeep have become costly given the age and number of units, approximately 2,400 units. Housing and Residential Services request permission to issue an order for a new six-year lease with two additional one-year renewal options for student room appliances with a total not to exceed $1.4 million. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on February 15, 2024. Requesting this item to the special meeting today allows Campus Housing to procure and install the items by the start of the fall 2024 semester.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8K?
So moved, Gales.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Is there a second?
Second, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none, we will take it to a vote. All those in favor of agenda item 8K, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8K is passed, and I do believe we have reached the end with agenda item 8L.
Last but not least.
Agenda item 8L is the Center for Early Learning Funding Equity. CELFE was established in 2022 as an outgrowth of the Early Childhood Transformation Team, the ECTT. The ECTT was established at the direction of the governor in spring of 2021 with funding from the Illinois State Board of Education and housed in the Education System Center at NIU based on the long-standing collaboration between ISBE and NIU and the expertise and leadership provided through the Education System Center in the state's early childhood education and care system. While the CELFE now has a national focus, working with six additional states and several national organizations, the team continues to support Illinois as it implements the governor's new Smart Start Illinois initiative. CELFE at NIU is requesting approval of a $201,000 increase to Vendor Illinois Network of Resource and Referral Agencies. This will increase the original approval amount approved by the Board of Trustees in August 2022 of $347,000 to a new total of $548,000. Funds will be administered by INCCRRA and used by Birth to Five Action Councils housed within INCCRRA to support the continued operations of a Family Advisory Council in each of the 39 regional Birth to Five Action Councils, launched in February 2022. The funds will also support the startup of community-level collaborations focused on early childhood education and care. Funding has been secured by CELFE as a part of the external private new venture fund grant that began on October 2021 and will continue through September 2025. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and asks that the President forward it by means of the President's report of the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 21st, 2024.
That's a lot of letters and acronyms.
Yes, it was for a pass-through thing.
And I think that's selfie, right? CELFE, that's selfie, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8L?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Thank you. Second?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Any discussion on selfie? So, Trustee Wasowitz.
So, George, this is pass-through stuff then that's coming through?
It's pass-through funding.
Okay, all right.
I thought that's what it was, but I just wanted to clarify that for the public.
So. Okay. Further questions or comments? We good? Okay. All those in favor of agenda item 8L, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8L is passed. Thank you all for your patience and attention. We'll move on to agenda item 9, the university reports. And again, George, I will turn it over to you.
NIU board regulations stipulate that the university presents regular summaries of designated activities, including financial and property transactions, as well as confirmation that state and federal requirements are met. Today, we will have a presentation on facilities and infrastructure capital investment. The report on information shared during the presentation is agenda item 9B. Agenda item 9B and 9C include comprehensive written updates and are submitted in accordance with the board of, with board regulations. After the presentation by John Heckman, Associate Vice President of Facilities Management and Campus Services, we will be happy to answer any questions.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to summarize the capital investments that we've seen in FY23 and share a projection of what's to come for the next few years. I will caution, this brief is not going to be as colorful as Brian Flowers was a little bit earlier, but I will not show pictures of food to agonize you since I know where we are near lunch here. Next slide, please. As I've done in prior years, I'm going to cover this topic across three segments involving capital, which may be better understood as sustaining buildings through capital repairs, repairs. The capital itself, which can be better understood as space modernization improvements, and finally, strategic efforts to best utilize and focus our capital investments as we look to the future. Next slide. This graphic continues to be the best illustration for explaining the overall health of the campus's built environment. It shows how much NIU has been able to invest in sustainment activities, otherwise known as maintenance and repairs, for the past couple decades in comparison to how much we should have invested to reliably keep pace with deterioration. On average, over this two-decade period, we've only been able to invest about 25% of the modeled target, which means that the remaining 75% void contributes to our overall deferred maintenance vulnerability. Fortunately, the pre-pandemic state capital authorizations that came from FY19 and FY20 have been gaining momentum and are expected to fully come to fruition over the next few years. This new level of investment is projected to more than double the average annual investment seen over the past couple decades. While maybe not fully reaching the desired investment target to keep pace with deterioration as shown on the graph, it will position the campus to have overall lower risk of unplanned impacts from issues like power outages, elevator failures, leaking roofs, etc. Next slide. Active projects underway with the state's construction authority, otherwise known as the Capital Development Board, consist of the following. The long-awaited boiler project has been gearing up over the past few months and is starting some early demolition activities. More visible activities will be occurring in the spring as the expansion of the West Plant to accommodate the new boilers will start to take shape. As the steam tunnel and visual arts building repairs start to wrap up, we are hopeful that two more projects will be gearing up for the construction this summer and fall to keep the pace of investment going. Next slide, please. As a quick accounting for our overall state capital renewal authorizations, we have about $67 million of funding authority available. While disappointing to only have about 7% of this value executed after 3 to 4 years, this period also includes the unfortunate interruption of the pandemic. It is still encouraging that we have about 42% of the investment in motion with the project shown on the earlier slide. What remains will be used to address our next priorities. Next slide. As shown to the board last November, these are the current priorities submitted to IBHE and will be the next projects to get addressed as funding availability and Capital Development Board capacity allows. The extent of our needs, as illustrated by the length of this list, should be a clear indication that we will need a sustained level of capital renewal that goes well beyond our current authorization. Next slide. Now for the capital or modernization investment story. When you layer in the capital spending across the past couple decades, you see occasional investments made for modernization improvements, but arguably not at a sufficient pace. With nearly 60% of our buildings older than 50 years of age, the need to address the growing demand for modernization improvements is becoming more significant. Coupled with the fact that older structures tend to require more repairs, the aging of our campus without sufficient modernization investment ends up compounding the challenge to keep pace with deterioration. While the out years show investments above the targeted investment line, I need to point out that most capital investments have a narrow focus, i.e. one building for the high investment being made. Fortunately, the significant investment being made with the Health Technology Center also means completing the long-awaited demolition of the Lincoln Hall residential complex, and in effect, accomplishing a net reduction of the overall campus footprint with this one investment. Let me provide a brief update on our two main capital investments. Next slide. You may recall from the August briefing how the Health Technology Center project was exploring three different concepts as it continued to move forward to final design. During the schematic design effort this spring, a choice will be made on one concept, which will likely depend on initial cost estimates for the options and the potential for donor contributions to help with desired features. We remain optimistic that the construction of this project may be possible for 2026. Next slide, please. The Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability project is in a similar status, where efforts are underway to refine both the space requirements and cost estimates to stay within the $15 million budget. If all goes as planned, a design build contractor team will be selected this fall, with construction occurring in 2025. Next slide, please. For the final segment of my brief on strategy, I'm continuing to reuse a slide from 2021, which serves as a good reminder for why and how we need to continue to change our mindset about space if we want to be sustainable in the future. This sustainability equally refers to both fiscal and environmental perspectives. How we use space and how much space we feel is needed must become part of our culture when prioritizing future capital investments. Next slide. As an institution, we've made good strides to reduce our unneeded surplus property, with over 2% of the campus footprint disposed over recent years, and another 4% pending. While more consolidation needs to be considered, we also need to blend in other objectives, which will help improve aspects like the attractiveness of campus, affordability, achieving societal goals to best enhance the overall mission of the university. This is the objective of the Master Planning Framework initiative, which was mentioned at last year's briefing. Next slide. We are now at a point in the development of this framework initiative where the framework is starting to take shape based on input collected from around the campus through numerous focus group meetings. Framed around five main categories and 11 subcategories, each topic explores where we believe NIU currently is and where we would like to be along various spectrums defining characteristics of institutions. Let me illustrate this further with a specific example. Next slide. One subcategory under the enrollment management topic addresses the nature of facilities for an institution. The spectrum runs from one end where facilities or aesthetics are much less important than the quality of the academic and support programs. At the other end, aesthetics of the built environment are considered important for demonstrating the values or commitment of the institution. No point along the spectrum is necessarily right or wrong, but the various points along the spectrum come with different implications, cost implications, and other considerations. By determining where we feel NIU is currently on this spectrum and where we would like to be, helps to define a gap which can be used as a weighting factor when comparing and prioritizing different funding capital investment priorities. With this feature, we look forward to finalizing this framework and incorporating the tool into decision-making processes to help ensure that future investments remain focused for getting NIU to the desired state across these various categories. Next slide. To summarize what I've shared, I want to emphasize how I continue to remain encouraged and excited about the future. With the building momentum of the state capital funding, we've reached the highest point in facility investments that we've seen in 10 years, and expect this to increase in the coming years. We're continuing to work with the Capital Development Board in our partnership to find ways to improve the pace of execution, and we're going to continue to look for ways to illustrate and explain the reason why we need state capital funding to continue well past our current authorizations. There will continue to be a focus, a significant focus, on the two capital projects and the modernization investments that come with the Health Technology Center and with the Northern Illinois Center for Community Sustainability, so these new buildings can enhance the associated academic and research programs. And finally, the necessary tasks of focusing our future investments will remain critical as we strive to make improvements on key objectives that are important to the university. I want to thank you for your time this afternoon, and I'll pause to see if there's any questions.
John, thanks very much. Any questions for John? Chair Gales?
Discuss with us what goes into decommissioning a building, taking it offline, and once offline, is it forever offline?
Weighted question there. Let me think about that a second. Yeah, when you decommission a building, you really have to have a sense of what's that future vision. Is it just a demolition? You're going to clear the site? Is it making way for something new, like we're talking with the Health Technology Center? Or if you're taking it offline and you don't quite have the funding to demolish it yet, then what does that mean? So there are a variety of options that we consider as we think through our options here. So to date, for example, for the Lincoln residential complex, we've taken it offline by disconnecting utilities, unplugged it. It is sitting there as a hunk of bricks and really not being heated or cooled. So that's one way of doing it until we can reach a point of actually doing the demolition. It comes with a little risk, and that entry into the building gets a little risky because it might be very moldy, it might be leaky, it might be hazardous in a lot of ways. So those are some of the considerations, if that gets to your question mm-hmm, sufficiently.
Mm-hmm, it does.
Other questions for John?
Yeah.
Trustee Wasowitz?
So I'm just curious, if I stand up and look out here, the plastic over there, that's roof repair going on right now?
I wish I could say it's going on right now. It's pending. It is one of the projects that we are trying to get up next for the state funding. And the wrapping that we did was preventative. It was to give us some life until we could get to the state funding, until we could get to that project to be executed. It's helping to keep water away from a leaking parapet, and that's the issue that we're trying to deal with.
So that's a large Band-Aid we're looking at.
Yes.
Okay. And then as far as the Nix building, you're saying 2026 on this, and our lovely Capital Development Board has dragged their feet to this point. How much more do you think this is going to cost us now?
For Nix, how much more is it going to cost depends on, you know, what we want to do. So it depends. If there's more money available, there are plenty of ideas of what could be done. If we are limited to the $15 million for Nix, then we will have to see how do we right size and make sure we stay within that budget. So that's going to be the challenge that plays out as we prepare for that design build contract this fall. And if everything plays out in a very timely manner, we could be seeing the construction actually occurring in 2025. I hope I'm not being overly optimistic, but that could be the case.
Okay, but it's going to cost. Probably, well, I mean, unless we really scale back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I think that a very, very good and important point is being made here. In fact, I think a number of them are. The first is that, you know, time and money have a relationship in an inflationary environment. Mm-hmm. And moving forward slowly with the state appropriations process for capital and the interactions with the Capital Development Board comes at a cost, and a cost to the excellence of the facility that's available to our faculty and students. There's also, you know, I want to say when John says we may have to cut back, John is talking about the NIU community. Facilities, administration, and finance don't make the trade-offs that have to be considered. I mean, even when a building is fully funded, the ambitions and dreams of our faculty and students always exceed the available dollars. And we have very broad and inclusive campus conversations to align what is available in terms of resources with what are the priorities of the programs that will be participating in the building, what will be attractive to the students and parents that we're trying to attract to our campus, and what are the opportunities for philanthropy to supplement what's going into the building, and how does that factor into construction, especially when we're poised going into a campaign. So, you know, there's a lot there, and some of this would be there regardless, but I think the point about the slow timelines for appropriated capital funding in an inflationary environment is a good point to make.
They don't run very fast, but...
The question just quickly, what's the thought process or status of any corporate or outside capital to come in alongside the state money for NICS?
I'd say NICS is not quite as advanced in planning as the Health Technology Center. There are relationships that are being explored. Even as the steering committee for NICS is trying to align within the design build process the available resources to the priorities and the priorities associated with the opportunity to hire a NICS director, to bring in you know, new faculty to supplement the expertise of the existing faculty. You know, when we use the word NICS, sometimes we're talking about the building, sometimes we're talking about the excellence of the faculty who are here and the relationships that they have made, and sometimes we're talking about the future opportunities for bringing on new experts and attracting students with interests in sustainability that we don't even know about. So it's not an easy question to answer. I guess what I can say is we recognize the importance of partnerships, of using relationships as resources, of both corporate and individual philanthropy supplementing what the state gives us so that we can continue to offer our incredibly talented and amazing faculty and students the facilities they deserve to learn and work in.
Are there any limitations, and I apologize for my lack of depth of knowledge on this, but is there any limitations to the amount of outside capital or corporate capital you'd want to bring into a project like that?
You know, I think Dr. Streb and I have had many conversations with legislators about the importance of understanding that the way of the future is not this is a privately funded building and this is a state building and neither the twain shall meet. I don't know, and I ask Matt for his expertise, if there have been specific guardrails placed on the percentage of investment from different sources that would go into a single building.
No.
He is shaking his head no.
And Lee, there, as I remember when we first started going down this road, got the approval, that there were four companies ready to go in and rent space within the building as well. So there's an ongoing amount of money that could have been coming through as well. I'm not sure where that stands today, but again, as the Capital Development Board drags their feet, it costs us more money. So.
Chair Gales?
We're also in an opportunity zone, right? And it allows private financing of development projects. Have we got any bites on that, any participation? Is there any interest in manipulating that program for construction?
There is continued interest. There are continued conversations. I can't speak to any of those specifically related to NICS or West Campus in this forum.
Further questions for John? You good? John, thanks very much. We have another item under 9C, but I believe that we are not reviewing that. The material is in your package. If anybody has any questions for George, he would be, I'm sure, more than happy to answer them. Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item 10 of the matters. Are there any other matters to come before this committee? Hearing none, the next meeting date of this committee will be May 9th of 2024. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I move, Gales.
Thank you, Chair Gales. Is there a second?
Second, Moore.
Thank you, Trustee Moore. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. The meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee is adjourned.